We at DCP Entertainment have been honored to bring you season one of our podcast, Inner Space, with host Dr. Barbara Van Dalen. Over the course of 11 episodes, we've explored a range of topics focused on better understanding of our emotional health and well-being. We have explored mental health challenges for those who serve, our veterans and their families, as well as the unique challenges and opportunities within the LGBTQ community. We've explored the impact of family functioning on our mental health and a range of techniques, practices, and opportunities that can help keep us all healthy. And in every show, we ask our guests how they take care of their own emotional health and how they take care of the emotional health and well-being of those they love. The answers have been inspiring, enlightening, and sometimes surprising. As a producer of this show, I love hearing what our guests have to say. And because of the show, I have been inspired to ask myself and others the same questions. And we are hearing from our listeners, and they too love hearing these inspiring conversations. So, before we completely close out this excellent first season, we are bringing you two bonus episodes of Inner Space. I hope you enjoy them. First up, we head back across the pond to London, England, where our host, Dr. Barbara Van Dalen, hosted the second annual Global Summit for Mental Health Culture Change. After 4 days of panel discussions with mental health professionals, celebrities, heroes, and everyday citizens, she sat down with friends, Dr. Tony Puente, former president of the American Psychological Association, and Dr. Jessica Henderson Daniel, also former president of the American Psychological Association, both of whom participated in panel discussions during the summit. They discuss advocacy, authenticity, and partnership with Given Hour. Please enjoy their conversation.
So it's amazing. It's hard to imagine, but we just finished the second global summit on mental health culture change. We're here in London. It's beautiful outside. We've been told all week long that this is extraordinary weather, but it led to an amazing turnout, 3 full days. And if we count this morning, because we even worked this morning, 4 hard-working, powerful, engaging conversations, discussions, a lot of inspiration, engagement. I'm here with 2 of my good friends, the former president of the American Psychological Association, Dr. Tony Puente, and the current president of the American Psychological, Dr. Jessica Henderson Daniel. And we are so proud to have APA with us. You were each on a panel. So proud that APA was a sponsor of this global event. So, Tony, let me start with you. What was your sort of your view of the vibe, the feel? Because this is a different kind of conversation. So what's your sort of takeaway from this?
In the current climate, both in the U.S. as well as abroad, the overall sense of despair and disenchantment with what's going on is so prevalent. Mm. It seems like we're experiencing like a worldwide PTSD. Mm. This was the greatest antidote. It was unbelievable. The excitement, the celebrities, the average person. Each of us contributing to a focal, engaging alternative. Like I said, an antidote to the despair that seems to be grappling the world is what this conference was all about.
That's lovely. And I'm going to ask Jessica in a minute to sort of add her perspective. But one word that was used over and over and over again was authenticity, that people were being authentic. Did you feel that?
Oh, yes. In fact, not only did I feel it, but it was contagious and it was demanded.
Yes.
You couldn't speak publicly unless you were authentic. Ah. Whether there was the Getty family, yes, or your own lovely husband, Randy, everybody was authentic. Everybody told their story, engaged the audience, and moved us forward.
It's powerful. Very powerful. Jessica, for you, what was valuable about being here in terms of your role as the president of the largest mental health association in the U.S. Obviously, there are psychologists all over the world. Right. So what was valuable to you, for you to be here in this setting?
What was really exciting was the fact that people came anticipating that it would be good, looking forward to meeting people from around the world, having conversations and finding out that we had more in common than we had differences, being comfortable with differences, and it's all right. We'll work through the differences because we are very committed to human beings. And there is a warmth and a just an excitement and a real hopefulness in an era where things can be feel really hopeless.
Really hard.
But this felt wonderful. And it was almost in my culture like a revival.
I like that.
Anticipating that we would get energy, get ideas, make contacts that would, you know, take us through the next year.
That's fair. I love the revival. I love that notion. I think we'll have to build that in. Well, and that reminds me, one of the things that I think was very different, I hope, inspiring, but I know it was different, is here we had a lot of cross-sector conversations. There was a panel devoted to faith-based leaders. You mentioned revival. And I feel like sometimes those groups are not at our table, and they need to be, don't they?
Absolutely. Very much so. It was really amazing that the first session was about the intersection between mental health and religion, which never was voiced openly. Mm-hmm. And it set the foundation. The Getty family, talking about fashion and LGBTQ issues and mental health. It was amazing. You were sort of expecting to have a bunch of mental health professionals talk to mental health professionals. It was not even close to that.
Do you think that's important in terms of our shared sort of goals to really change this culture, having these cross conversations? Why is that important from your perspective?
Well, internal validity, believing in who we are and what we do to ourselves, only affects a very small percentage of the entire world's population. The U.S., 325 million people, psychologists, maybe 250,000. Mm-hmm. We can't just talk ourselves into it. Mm-hmm. We got to talk all of us into it.
Was there anything that surprised you, Jessica, when you know, from what you expected? It's great that you expected it to be positive and good, and I'm glad it delivered. Mm-hmm. Was there anything about it that surprised you from hearing the different perspectives or the different voices?
No, what's interesting in a trying time is that people who have hope, have that in common. And that hopefulness brings down barriers and you make connections you wouldn't have made otherwise, that we need each other in these times and we need to share and we need to hear each other and work together. And people came with that mentality and you could feel it in the room. Mm. You know, I want to meet this person. I want to know more about you. I wonder if we can make a connection where we could make something happen. Mm-hmm. We need to make something happen. This is not a passive period. This is an active period. And so, you know, when you have a room full of smart people and people who have done things in the past and they're coming with that mindset, it can only generate positive, hopeful energy, which means that we're on our way.
One of the things that was so moving for me, you know, we talked about the authenticity. Another thing that Jessica, you mentioned, you know, people sort of there for each other, supporting each other. Another theme was it's okay not to be okay. We heard that over and over. And several people clearly on the panels struggling themselves on the panel, that it was hard for them to talk about what they were talking about. Many people moved to tears, I think, not only on the panels, but in the audience. And yet it was almost as if that was part of the magic, the power was people sort of dropping their guard, whether it was to Linda Bennington or Jennifer Ashton sharing their own stories of experiencing suicide, you know, very personally. Or Leon Lloyd, the famous rugby player here in the UK, talking about his own struggles after having to give up his career. Do you believe from your perspective that the APA, the association, in case folks don't know, I'm a psychologist too. They know that probably by now, but I am a member of APA, a proud member of APA. And I am very passionate about our members, our my brethren and sistren, driving this change. What do you want to do? You know, taking this hopefulness, excitement home across the pond. What do you think APA can do? What do you want APA to do? Because you two will continue to be leaders for the foreseeable future in our association, in our profession.
One of the things that I walk away from this weekend is a sense of hope and a strong sense of advocacy. APA has a 125-year history, and we have done very little, relatively speaking, speaking on behalf of others, and in many ways, speaking on behalf of ourselves. So for me, the big movement forward is, how can we advocate for us and for others? And after this weekend, how can we partner with you to advocate together? Because together, we're stronger.
Absolutely. Jessica, what do you want APA to, not, and again, not necessarily the body of APA. I'm not asking you to speak for from a governance perspective now, because obviously that's not, you can't do that until you guys go back and say, let's do this. But just your own passion. How do you want, how would you like to translate this into what psychologists can do all over the country and all over the world?
Right. Well, my initiative this year is being a citizen psychologist. I made up the term. I had no idea what would be generated, but let me tell you that psychologists are everywhere doing wonderful things. And so one of the things that, that came to me sitting there was that, you know what, there's a lot of strength, there's a lot of intelligence here and energy here. We need to harness it and move it forward. And yes, there will be barriers, but we, if we support each other, we will make a difference. Mm-hmm. That's the exciting thing about it. And people for good need to stand up in trying times, as opposed to saying, oh, this is really tough. Yes, it's tough. But when you look back afterwards, you'll be so glad that you stood tall, that you partnered with people who shared your ideas, that you believed in basically the human goodness in individuals, and that you made it come through. And that's exciting.
It is exciting. And I think you're both talking about this, you know, people say a lot of things. But I think what we were promoting this week, and it sounds like what you both are saying, is it's important to talk the talk, but that means something different now. It means being real, being authentic, recognizing, acknowledging we all have struggled, we all have suffered, we all have had emotional pain. Sharing that when it's appropriate, openly, is actually incredibly courageous and allows others to connect with us. But then you got to walk the walk. You know, you got to, you, as you said, in our own country, there's a lot of suffering right now, tremendous suffering. While we were here enjoying this beautiful summit, beautiful weather, making new friends, another hurricane devastated a part of our country. So when we get back, we will be responding to those who are hurting there. A huge hurricane smashed into your home, your town where you live, also where our daughter lives. So we were closely following that. And we saw people stepping up, helping each other in times of need. There are also issues that are happening. Again, it's regardless of political position that you take, people are hurting, they're suffering, they're struggling. And yes, we all have expertise, but it's how do we get those who have that expertise to get up, get out of their offices, get out from behind their desks, and get into the community? What do the two of you think? What do you think? For those psychologists and other mental, because you know we're eclectic. We want all mental health professionals to help us change the culture and meet the needs out there. What do you think is motivating, helpful to encourage people who have skills, have abilities, and we all have them, to get involved, get engaged, help people with everyone's internal needs? That's what our work is all about. Mm-hmm.
Well, let me speak about two very, very disparate experiences I've had recently. One Thursday, and that was being at the House of Commons and having Theresa May acknowledge that this was Global Mental Health Day. Mm-hmm. And this week, she appointed a minister of suicide.
Amazing. Suicide prevention, right?
So suicide prevention.
Yes.
So here we are, a very conservative leader acknowledging a very endemic problem in her country and in the world.
Yes.
So it was amazing. And then later on, when the defense minister, Tobias Elwood, received this important achievement award given on behalf of your association, you did not notice, but I had the right angle and a tear came down his eyes.
Yes.
And it was so good to see our leaders, and at least in this country, acknowledge the profundity of the problem, acknowledge the personal engagement as well. For me, if I could talk about just what happened recently in Wilmington.
Yes.
Where we were literally cut off from the world for an entire week.
This was, so everybody's sort of tracking, this was Hurricane Florence.
Florence, which was supposed to be a Category 1 hurricane that came and stayed.
Yes.
For basically a week.
Yes.
36 inches of rain. We were literally cut off from the rest of the world. We started running out of gas, running out of water. And what are you to do? Instead of seeking solace for myself, I chose as quickly as possible to go and give help to others. Mm. And in giving help, I found the solace that was so difficult in a devastating situation.
That's so true, isn't it? The giving, you get back so much.
So give an hour.
Yes.
Give yourself.
Give yourself. Give to others, right? And Jessica, I think people sometimes are afraid to get out of their comfort zone. You know, I know what I know how to do. Mm-hmm. I'm in my space, you know, and this program, this podcast is called Inner Space for a reason, because it's about helping people think about their own challenges, their own struggles, what's good for all of us. How do we practice healthy habits? How do we learn? So as we think about what Tony just said, getting out in the world, citizen psychologists, how do we move from people know it's the right thing to do? How do we get them out of their chairs, get them out into the community? What do you think works?
Well, we in my initiative have decided that we're developing a curriculum. We believe, because psychology is taught from high school through postdoctoral learning periods, that if people are schooled in it, that it becomes an integral part of our culture. Mm. This is a part of our culture. As a psychologist, one of the things you do is that you use your psychological skills to improve the lives of people in your community. Your community can be local or it can be international. Mm-hmm. And so we'll give you the tools to do it. And it's normative. So
are those tools up on the APA website now?
Not yet. They're being developed, but they will be up. And you'll also have an opportunity to see the citizen psychologists who've been honored. They're doing all kinds of things that otherwise would have been unnoticed and unrecognized.
So APA website, apa.org. Mm-hmm. This is Jessica will be the president. You turn the gavel over, right?
As of January 1, yes.
Mm-hmm. So by the time this airs, those materials and tools
should be
there
on the website.
And maybe even other mental health organizations can take the lead and adopt that concept of encouraging citizen psychiatrists, citizen social workers, citizen substance abuse counselors. Because as Tony said, there are not enough mental health professionals in our country or in the world to meet the needs doing it one-to-one. It ain't going to happen anytime soon. We can encourage folks to get in, but the work that you both are doing, the clinic in Wilmington, offering care, citizen psychologists, I love what you're doing. It's so good for our inner space, those of us who practice, and you're helping to care for so many people who are suffering. You're both dear friends. Thank you so much for coming to be with us in London to share your passion, your expertise. Thank you for talking with me today.
Thank you very much.
It was a wonderful experience. Let's make this a foundation for a new beginning.
Absolutely. And next year we'll be in Canada, and we know that APA will be there again with us.
Absolutely.
We'll
be
it.
There.
Thank you.
Thank you
very Thank
much. You.
The conversation between Dr. Barbara and Dr. Puente and Dr. Henderson Daniel is so inspiring. These three are leaders in their field who are at the forefront of a massive cultural conversation that I am certain will bring about significant change in how we think about, talk about, and care for our mental health. I am so proud to be a producer on this show. I am so proud to know Dr. Barbara, and I am honored to be involved in bringing her conversations to the audience and to those who are looking for ways to care for their inner space. And remember to join DCP Entertainment, the American Psychological Associations, and many other organizations and individuals who are participating in a Week to Change Direction, June 9th through the 15th. Go to changedirection.org or follow at DCP Official on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to learn how you can be a part of this global effort to change the culture of mental health.